Now please turn with me in your Bibles to the passage that we had read a little earlier to us, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. You'll find it helpful to have the Bible open in front of you. It's on page 986 in the Pew Bibles, page 986, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let me just very briefly explain what's happening in this passage. There is in Greece a city called Thessalonica. And 2,000 years ago, a man called Paul, the Apostle Paul, went to that city and brought the Christian message, the Christian gospel, to the people of that city. And many people in that city actually became Christians. They used to worship other gods, but they left the worship of other gods and they became Christian, and a church was formed in that city of Thessalonica. And just a short time later, perhaps a few weeks, not more than a few months later, Paul had moved on to another place and he wrote a letter to them. And when you look at 1 Thessalonians, this part of the Bible called 1 Thessalonians, it's a letter. It's the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica. And the passage that we're looking at this morning, particularly verses 9 and 10, the last two verses, he's reminding them of what happened when he came to their city. He's reminding them of how they became Christians. He says to them, you did certain things happened to you, and because of that, you became Christians. And when we look at this passage, verses 9 and 10, they teach us this very important lesson: what is a Christian? I wonder if you've ever asked yourself this question: what is a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? You know, there are some questions where it doesn't really matter whether we get the answer right or not. Will England win the test match at Old Trafford today? Or will the rain intervene? Well, those of us who are cricket fans, we're all sort of thinking about this. I hope we're not thinking about it here in this church, but I'm sure it's there because it's such a tense match. Or we've had elections this week, by-elections. And I guess the question people are asking, well, what's going to happen at the next general election? Which party will win? Or will it be a hung parliament? Yes, these things are important, but they're not life and death. They're not about heaven and hell. It doesn't really matter if England win or not. Actually, it doesn't really matter that much which party comes to power. But this question that we are looking at this morning, what is a Christian? This is of huge significance. This is absolutely important. Because your eternal destiny, whether you go to heaven or whether you end up in hell, depends on this question. Did you know that? Do you know that when you die, you will stand before God in judgment? And essentially, the question that will determine your destiny is, are you a Christian? Now, if you're going to answer that question correctly, you have to know the answer to the question, what is a Christian? I've got to get my thoughts right on this. I don't want to be confused about this issue. I don't want to just have all kinds of views that other people have told me. I've got to get this right. What is a Christian? And it may be that for many, many years you've attended church, and you've sung hymns, and you've bowed your head at prayer time, and you perhaps read verses from the Bible, but it may be you've never had a clear idea what is a Christian. Well, this morning I urge you to listen to me. It is of huge significance, this question, and it's important you understand the answer to this question: what is a Christian? Now, those two verses at the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, there are four things here that show us the marks of a Christian. Four things that explain what is a Christian. I'm not going to be very long, I promise you. But these things are important. So there are four marks of a Christian in this passage. In the first place, a Christian is a person who responds to the Bible. A Christian is a person who responds to the Bible. When Paul wrote this letter to the Thessalonian church, he says to them that people in Macedonia and Achaia, they're speaking about you. You become the talk of the town, you church in Thessalonica, you Christians in Thessalonica. People in neighboring districts in Macedonia, in Achaia, they're talking about you. Well, what are they saying? Well, he says in verse 9, they themselves report concerning us and the kind of reception we had among you. Do you see that in the opening verses? They themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you. What does he mean by this? Well, what he means is this. He says to them, when we came to your city, he says, when I, Paul, I came to your city and I began to speak to you about the Christian faith. Now, there wasn't a single Christian in Thessalonica when Paul went to that city. As far as we know, the city of Thessalonica had never heard of Christianity. They had their own religion. But Paul goes and Paul says to them, my friends, there's a book called the Bible. And in the Bible, God has given us certain instructions. And the Lord Jesus has come, and the Lord Jesus has died, and the Lord Jesus has been raised from the dead. And there are certain truths that you must receive. There are certain truths you must believe, and you must accept them and live by them. Now, these Thessalonians didn't say, oh, these are of no importance. These don't matter. The Thessalonian people didn't reject these things. They accepted what Paul was saying. They were steeped in their own religion. Their own religion had been passed down to them from generation to generation. But many in the city thought, no, we want to listen to what this man is saying. And when they heard him, they said, we will accept what you are saying. We were thinking earlier about instructions. I remember making that Lego when my children were very young. My wife went out and she bought this Lego spaceship. And she came home. And I remember this, we were living in Africa. And I remember this vividly. She came home and she said, I've brought a Lego spaceship. And the children went, yay. And I went, oh no. Because I knew who was going to have to make that Lego spaceship. Now, if I got all the instructions wrong, and instead of a spaceship, we got some mixed up thing that came up, does it matter? No. My children probably don't remember that spaceship. They don't remember that day. They were very young. So there are some instructions, they don't really matter. But imagine you flying on a plane. And I'm afraid I'm the guilty one. I sit there and when the instructions come, I just get bored. And I'm reading or looking at my phone or something like that. And they tell you where the emergency exits are. And they tell you how the mask will come down and where your life jacket is. And the instructions on how to get out of a plane when the plane lands in the water. Now, if I've not been listening and the plane does land in the English Channel, well, I'm suddenly thinking, where's my life jacket? Where does one find the life jacket? Now the stewardess isn't going to come and start giving all the instructions again. So you see, I'm stuck because I don't know where my life jacket is and I can't swim. And even if I find my life jacket, I'm then thinking, where are the emergency doors? And these things are matters of life and death because I don't know where my life jacket is. I don't know where the emergency doors are. I don't know how to put on my life jacket. I don't know how to put on this mask that comes down. I don't know any of these things. It's very likely I won't survive that crash. Those instructions matter. And the instructions that Paul brought to the people of Thessalonica, they matter. Because if you're a Christian, you're born again, you are a Christian, you love the Lord Jesus, you will enter heaven when you die. If you are not a Christian, you won't enter heaven when you die, you will be in hell. It is as simple as that. And these Thessalonians, they heard the word of God and they received it. Do you notice earlier in verse 5? He says to them, our gospel came to you not only in word. We weren't just speaking empty words When you listen to us, you didn't just say, oh, these are just words, this is just, you know, talk. Our gospel, he says, did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. He says to them, you are Christians today because you received the word of God. I say this to you, are you a Christian? And I don't mean your idea of a Christian or the world's idea of a Christian, but are you a Christian according to what the Bible says? Do you receive the Bible's teaching? Do you read the Bible? And do you say to yourself, this is God's word, I'm going to listen to it? Or when you hear the Bible being preached, do you say to yourself, I don't think I believe any of this, this is just a man giving us his views? Do you receive what the Bible says? The people in Thessalonica received the Bible. And so that's the first mark of a Christian. A Christian is a person who responds to the Bible. The second mark of a Christian is this. A Christian is a person. The point should come up. A Christian is a person who trusts in Christ alone. A Christian is a person who trusts in Christ alone. Look at that text. They themselves, the people of Macedonia and Achaia, they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you. How you actually listened to us when we brought the Bible to you, and how you responded to the Bible. And then he goes on to say, and how you turned to God from idols. How you turned to God from idols. Like most cities in the Roman world in those days, the people of Thessalonica were a religious people. And they had their own religion. They had temples in Thessalonica. And in those temples, there were idols. Idols made of wood and stone and metal. And they had a system of religion that their fathers and their grandfathers had taught them. And they were brought up in this. And they were told, now if you want to be right with God, if you want to be accepted by God, you want to be blessed of God, you want to go to heaven when you die, well, here is what you do. You go to the temple and you bow down before this stone idol and you bow down before that metal idol and you pray to this piece of wood and you do these religious things and you live a decent life, you live a moral life, you try to your best not to do any harm to others, but you do your best to live a good life and help others. If you do all these things, you follow these religious rituals and you live a decent moral life, then God will be pleased with you and God will accept you into heaven. This is the teaching that they were given. And this is the teaching that they followed. And then Paul came. And Paul spoke to the people of Thessalonica. And Paul said, I know that you've received this teaching from your fathers and your grandfathers. I know that this is the teaching that you've received from your childhood. And I know that you believed it and practiced it from your childhood. But I'm here to tell you, it is wrong. It is falsehood. It is a lie. It is not the truth. Do you know that is the simple case? I wonder if you are in that same situation. And that right from childhood you've been told, as long as you go to church on Sunday and you sing the hymns and when the Bible is being read, you follow the Bible reading and when the man at the front leads in prayer, you bow your head and you follow the prayer and when the sermon is being preached, you listen. And as long as you live a decent life, a moral life, you try to do your best with other people and you avoid the great sins, as long as you're living a decent life and a religious life, God will be pleased with you and God will bless you and God will allow you into heaven. I wonder if that is what you believe today. It is perhaps the most common belief in our country. It is perhaps the belief that most people in our country have. I would imagine if I went out to the seafront this afternoon and I stopped a person and I said to them, how do you think you'd get into heaven? I'm pretty sure most people would say, well, you live a decent life and you'd be a religious person. Now, Paul said to the Thessalonians, that's a lie. And I say this to you, it is a lie. This is why you need to get this absolutely clear in your mind. What is a Christian? Is a Christian a person who lives a moral life, a decent life, try to do his best and be religious and go to church? Is that a Christian? No, says the Bible. A Christian is a person who does not trust in his own works. A Christian is a person who does not trust in his own efforts. A Christian is a person who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. These Thessalonians trusted in their own works. They thought, as long as we go to our temples, as long as we worship our gods, as long as we live a moral life, we will enter heaven. They were trusting in their own works, you see. They were trusting in their own efforts. And the Bible says, you do not trust in your own works. This is why he says, you turned to God from idols. You turn from these things. And I say this to you this morning. If you are a person who think, well, I will go to heaven because I live a decent moral life, I'm a religious person, you need to turn from that belief. You need to turn from those views. You need to turn from that kind of life. Because that won't get you into heaven. You're not a Christian if that's how you're thinking. A Christian is a person who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible's message is that Christ has done all that is necessary for us to enter heaven. Christ lived a perfect life here on earth. And Christ died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. And Christ paid the penalty for our sins. And Christ cleared our debt and our guilt by his death on the cross of Calvary. Christ shed his blood that we might be saved. Our sins have been dealt with by Jesus. We do not pay for our sins. We cannot make amends for our sins. You cannot repay God for the sins that you've committed. You cannot clear your sins by your works. Jesus clears your sins. Do you know the forgiveness of sins through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Is your faith in him? Are you trusting in him? Or are you saying to yourself, well, I know I've done sins, but my good works will outweigh my sins? They will not. Are you saying to yourself, my good works will mean that my sins won't count? I tell you, that's a lie. We all have sins. We've all done wrong before God. We all are in danger of judgment. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he hung upon that cross, he took our sins upon himself. And he died, he paid the penalty. He dealt with our sins. He dealt with the just law of God. And it is only through faith in Christ, it is only by believing in Jesus, it is only by putting all our trust in him that we have forgiveness, salvation, and a hope of heaven. And the people of Thessalonica used to trust in their own works to be right with God. But they turned from those idols. And they turned to Christ and put their faith in Christ and believed in Christ. Why not today come to Christ and ask him to forgive you and save you? A Christian is a person who trusts in Christ alone. And then a third thing, a Christian is a person who serves the living God. Do you see how this passage is unfolding? They themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you. You received the word of God. How you turn to God from idols. You don't trust in your works. You trust in Christ. And to serve the living and true God. How do I know that a person is truly saved? How do I know that a person has living faith in Jesus Christ? It is works. Now we have to get this absolutely right. Our works do not save us, but we are saved to do good works. You've got to get that absolutely right. Your works will not save you. Your works will not commend you to God. Your works will not get you into heaven. But if you are a child of God, you are born again, you do love the Lord Jesus Christ, and you put your faith in him, you will have good works to show that. You will live a life that is pleasing to God, Because God, by His Holy Spirit, comes to live in us. And God, by His Holy Spirit, begins a work of transforming us into the image of Christ. And the Lord Jesus went about doing good. And His people, led by the Spirit, inspired by the Spirit, will go about doing good. These Thessalonians didn't just stay at home and say, you know, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, but I will just stay at home. They actually served the true and living God. And when they went to church, they didn't just sit there and say, I'm a Christian, I love the Lord Jesus, but there are no works to be seen. They were given gifts by the Spirit, and they used their gifts in the life of the church. All of God's people have been given gifts, and all of God's people are under a command to use their gifts. Works show that we have true living faith in Christ. Works do not save, but works prove that we are saved by faith alone, in Christ alone. So the third mark of the Christian is that a Christian is a person who serves the living God. And then fourthly and finally, the fourth mark of a Christian is a person who is heavenly minded. Look at what he says in verse 10. He says there, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Do you know one of the major differences between a Christian and a non-Christian? A non-Christian fears death. A person who is not a Christian doesn't like thinking about death. A person who is not a Christian is terrified of death because they don't know whether they're ready for death. They don't know what will happen to them after they've died. They don't know whether they will go to heaven or hell. That is the mark of a person who is not a Christian. As a pastor, I've sat with many people who are coming to the end of their life. And you can see this as one of the great marks of a person who is not a Christian. Even when they're dying, they don't want to talk about death. You try to talk to them about death. You try to read passages from the Bible about death. And they, no, I don't want to think about it. Well, they're on their deathbed. And you say to them, look, this event is coming, you've got to be ready for it. But because people are so terrified, it's an unthinkable thing. They don't like to talk about it, don't like to think about it. But for a Christian, it's a completely different thing. Because their faith is in Jesus Christ, and Christ has conquered death. Their faith is in Jesus Christ, and Christ has opened heaven. Their faith is in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ has prepared a place for them in heaven. And so they look forward, you see, to what is beyond death. Death doesn't terrify them. Death is not some frightening thing, because they know my faith is in Christ. Christ by His death has dealt with my sins, and Christ by His death has forgiven me, and Christ has made me ready for heaven. They know that they're ready for heaven, not because they're good, but because Jesus has done all that is necessary. And so death holds no terror for them. But they think about heaven. Heaven is something that all Christians think about. It's something that is clear in their minds. It actually determines how they live their lives here on earth. A Christian is a person whose life is directed and determined by the future. And a person who is not a Christian, their lives are determined and directed by the past. They have no future. But a Christian has a glorious future. These people in Thessalonica, Paul went and preached to them. And Paul said to them, Jesus is coming back. And when He comes back, He will take His people to be with Him. And they will be in heaven with Him. And they will enjoy the glories of heaven for eternity. The place of joy and a place of love where they will love Christ without any hindrance from sin. And it will be a place of joy. Oh, they looked forward to it. It absolutely determined how they lived. It was an obsession with them almost. And they kept looking forward to this. The Son of God is coming back. The Son of God is coming back. And we're going to be with Him. They loved the thought of the second coming. How do you think about the future? How do you think about death? How do you think about what lies beyond death? Is it something that terrifies you? Or is it something that you say, well, my Savior has conquered death, and death no longer holds any fear for me, because I know I'm going to heaven, because my Savior has died for me. My Savior has secured my forgiveness. My Savior has secured my place in heaven and has prepared a place in heaven for me. Are you heavenly minded? Or do you find the whole thought of death and what happens after unthinkable? Four marks of a Christian from this passage. Christian is a person who responds to the Bible, doesn't reject it, but actually believes it and responds to it. Christian is a person who trusts in Christ alone and not in their own works. Christian is a person who serves the living God because they're saved by faith. And a Christian is a person who looks forward to the return of the Lord Jesus from heaven. Amen.